rough on retail.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. The government reports this morning the number of workers filing new unemployment claims dropped last week, more than expected. Unemployment, though, is still high, of course, and that's always going to hurt America's retailers. A number of retailers reported July sales figures this morning, and here to talk about it is Paul Nolte, Director of Investments with Hinsdale Associates, joining us live. Hi, Paul.
Good morning, Bill.
How did retail sales for July look?
They looked better than expected, but if your expectations are pretty low, better than expected isn't necessarily good. Mm-hmm. And that's really what we're taking a look from retail sales. Not terrific when you take a look at them beyond just the last couple months.
And what does that say about the near future in retail?
I think really the consumer's basically still sitting on their wallet. They don't have the propensity or the ability to spend. They're still suffering from a lot of debt. So we're looking at an economy that's going to be a very slow growth and maybe bumping along the zero line here for a while. We don't see the V-shaped recovery that the equity markets are projecting at this point.
Okay, but back-to-school shopping is upon us, so is August gonna be better times no matter what?
It could be a little bit better. But I think what we're seeing from a lot of consumers is they're looking at a lot of different alternatives. They're not necessarily going to the big box stores for back to school. They're looking at their closet saying, well, maybe we can get away with one or two outfits as opposed to a complete re-wardrobe. Booksellers, you're finding more stuff on eBay and Overstock and other places than the bookstore for the school. So they're looking at a lot of different alternatives. When they have to spend, they're looking to get a discount from somewhere.
Okay, so maybe you got to get something for school, but maybe there's a lot of things you don't got to get. Paul Nolte, Director of Investments with Hinsdale Associates, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, let's do some more numbers here. On Wall Street, stocks are pretty flat right now. The S&P 500 down 0.25%, the NASDAQ off 0.5%, and the Dow is down just 7 points, basically flat, 9,273. European stocks rose today as central banks there decided to keep those interest rates very low. Asian shares were mostly higher, too. A hacker attack shut down Twitter for a while this morning, just a couple of hours or so. Twitter said it was defending against a denial-of-service attack, which is when hackers command a whole bunch of computers to a single site at once. Tim Behan covers the tech industry as principal analyst at Creative Strategies. Tim, good morning.
Good morning.
How did Twitterers respond to being disconnected?
Well, most of them were kind of going crazy, although I found that a lot of them then shifted over to Facebook and basically were launching their complaints that Twitter was down through their Facebook friends. So, you know, you do have alternatives.
Okay, so besides a Twitter twitch, what's really important about this being down for a while?
Yeah, the significance is that Twitter has become a very important way of communication that allow for one-to-one as well as one-to-many. So when it goes down, those that use this a lot for communicating with their friends, they feel kind of violated. It's like, hey, wait, I can't do anything.
What is the biggest business effect, if any, in an outage like this?
Well, it's a little hard to tell. Most of the true businesses that have used Twitter have not really figured a way to monetize it yet.
Well, airlines are selling tickets on Twitter. I mean, it's worked its way more into the business fabric.
Well, it is. And again, in those contexts, the commercial business side obviously rely on it, at least from the standpoint of promotional.
Tim Behan is principal analyst at Creative Strategies. Thanks.
Thank you.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place. LendingTree.com.
The state of California, I don't have to tell you, is billions of dollars in the hole, and it's been slashing programs and services. And yet there's one Los Angeles program that's actually expanded. Now Marketplace's Jeff Tyler takes us to Summer Night Lights.
2 years ago, the Jim Gilliam Park was gang territory, but now it serves the whole community. DJs play music, teens play soccer, cooks pass out free meals.
It's like a chicken sandwich, like sloppy joe but chicken. It's very good.
Summer Night Lights keeps parks open until midnight and keeps kids off the streets. But it's about more than recreation. It also provides jobs and training for about 160 older teens who might otherwise be drawn to gangs. Guillermo Cespedes oversees Summer Night Lights, which includes 16 parks.
Some of the training is mindset training, there's financial literacy, we help them open up a bank account.
Teens earn about $3,500 for the summer. The program teaches guys like 18-year-old Matthew Hill to use the money wisely.
We're not used to getting paid like $500 at one time. It come quick, so, you know, we might just spend it real quick, but it teaches how to like the saving and open up bank accounts and like do different things with our money.
The program is funded by a public-private partnership. It costs about $175,000 for each park. I recently toured the Jim Gilliam Park with L.A. Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa.
This program last year helped to reduce the violence in the summer dramatically.
Overall, the murder rate dropped 86% in communities around these parks. And at this one in particular,
there were 6 homicides around this park the year before. Last year, there were 0.
The program saves lives and money. A murder investigation typically costs the city more than $1 million, 5 times what it costs to run the program at a park all summer. Violence also drives businesses away. Steve Zipperman is a Los Angeles police officer.
This homicide has caused concern for this store over here who decides maybe I'll shut my doors.
Summer Night Lights runs through Labor Day. If he can raise the money, the mayor plans to expand the program to more parks next summer. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
And finally, when a Seattle postal worker deposited a $200,000 check in his wife's bank account, he told her they'd won the lottery, but prosecutors this week charged him with stealing business checks from his mail routes. They claim he altered the payee on some of the checks to include his wife's name. So if that's true, at least he was thinking about her. Checking the Dow, it's down 7 points at 9,273. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great Thursday.
American Public Media. The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.